Well, I'm sorry about that. It's a bit of a technical error, but we're back live and hopefully you'll be able to regain your equilibrium as you get everything sorted. So we've been journeying through the story of the first disciples as they heard the news. And as you can imagine, just as it was for Thomas in the story, it took a while for the truth of this amazing news to sink in. It seemed impossible that Jesus was alive or that death had been defeated. But Jesus met the disciples many times after this day. He had breakfast with them on the beach. He helped them catch an enormous amount of fish. He taught them many things. It was true. The stone had been rolled away and Jesus had been resurrected to life again. And even Thomas couldn't doubt it in the end. So what does it all mean? Well, it means so many things. You know, you've heard me say this many times before, but it means that Jesus's good news was actually true. He really was God's saving king, able to reinstate his kingdom over us and to push back the powers and the kingdoms of this world. He really had come to reveal God's love towards us, giving himself away for us completely, forgiving our sin and dying in our place. He really was able to renew God's image in us, taking away our old lives and giving us a completely new one, ones that would never perish or spoil or fade. He really could radiate God's life through us by transforming our hearts, rescuing us from the virus that was infecting us all, and freeing us from our slavery to sin and turning us inside out to love a world in need. He really was remaking God's creation for us, turning mourning into dancing, turning things completely around, even bringing life out of death. The day Jesus rose from the dead, everything changed. And not just for us, but for everyone. No longer need people be weighed down by the fear of death, the shroud that covers the nations. Now sin and death had been defeated. No longer need people live without hope. Now they knew that heaven was on its way to earth. Sin and death had been defeated. No longer need people be trapped in sin. Now they could be freed to live as God had made them to, washed and set free. Sin and death had been defeated. This was the greatest day in history, the day everything had changed. God's revolution had begun. His kingdom was breaking in. Now, we've had some fun this week and we encouraged everyone to send in videos of them singing along to Ali, having rehearsed and recorded the greatest day in history. So we've put that together thanks to Sam Johnson, who's helped us with that. And let's watch and enjoy and worship along with this great song, The Greatest Day in History. So thanks so much, everyone, for sending in your videos this week. It's been great. And I'm sure there's a few edited bits on the cutting floor of Sam's bedroom, but we just so loved seeing you dancing and celebrating together. So thank you so much for that. So this is the news. This is the news that Jesus is not dead, that he's alive. And it changes everything. It changes who we are. It changes our relationship with God. It changes how we see ourselves, how we feel, and how we see the world. And it sounds unbelievable and unthinkable and incredible that dead person should come back to life. And of course it is. But this incredible story is even more incredible when you think that Jesus did this all for people like you and me, people who don't really deserve it, people who couldn't earn it, people who have messed up and made mistakes, people who know what is right but so often fail to follow through on it, people who've been hurt and who have been weighed down by life, people who are broken and empty and desperate for more. Just so that we could have this life inside us, working through us, and to build a deep relationship of love with you. I want to invite you to accept Jesus as your savior today, the only one who can truly set you free from your mistakes and your shame and your fear and your hurt, able to forgive you and enable you to forgive others, able to cleanse you from the virus within, And I want to invite you to accept Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. The one who's only got good plans for you, who only wants to lead you into good things, into life, into truth, into freedom. The one who is worth following. And I want to invite you to accept Jesus as your King today. The one who you give total allegiance to. The risen Christ, the risen King. The one whose name really is above all other names and really is worth submitting to, the servant King, the crucified and risen King. I want to invite you to hand over your life to him in order to receive his resurrection life. That's the transaction. That's the deal. And that's why he came, so that he could take our lives and fill us with his life, to fill us with his spirit and his breath. So if that sounds like something that you need, something that you want, something that you long for, well, why not join me in a prayer right now? Why don't we do that right here, right now, in the middle of this service, even in front of your family here watching with you, or whether you're watching on your own or with others? Why don't you join me and close your eyes for a moment? And if you want to, you can repeat this prayer in your own heart, or you might even want to say it aloud. King Jesus, I submit to you again today. I praise you as the one who is the resurrected King. I praise you and love you because you have revealed your love to me. You've come as far as it is possible to come in order to win my heart and to change me from the inside out. And I am so grateful for your love for me. I'm so grateful that you do not turn aside from me, but rather you come towards me and forgive me for my sin and cleanse me and wash me and make me clean. Thank you that your blood, your death, cleanses me and renews me. And Lord Jesus, I accept this gift, this freely given gift today, once again. You are the way, the truth, and the life for me. So I give you my life. I give you my thinking, my actions. I give you everything that I have. I give my allegiance to you as my King. I follow you. And I pray, Father, that you would give me your Holy Spirit. You'd breathe your life into me for every challenge that I'm facing, every situation, every relationship, everything that I need, that you would provide it for me through your Holy Spirit. Would you give me your breath once again? Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me. Thank you that you restore me to relationship with you. You give me a future and a hope. Thank you that you save me from death and sin. And in Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. Thank you. And if any one of you did pray that prayer for the first time, I'd love to hear from you. Do email me or text me or find some way of connecting with me. We'd love to send you some resources and to help you and pray with you and chat with you more about that. But before Ali and Kate lead us in some prayers, I want to say one more thing on this Resurrection Sunday. And now I'm no expert in this stuff, but as I've watched and read and reflected over the past few weeks, I honestly believe that we are still in the early days of it all. This isn't just a few snow days, a short blizzard or a storm that is passing through. No, I think that this is way more serious than that and way more significant than that. More like an extraordinarily long winter that just goes on and on way longer than normal. A strange one-off season where things are out of kilter for a long while. I don't think we're going to be getting back to normal anytime soon. 1816, and you can look this up on Wikipedia, was called the year without a summer. It was cold the whole year through. There were frosts right the way through May, June, July, August, and September. And it was dark the whole time. A volcano had erupted violently in Indonesia, and the whole of Europe and the Northern Hemisphere froze over for months on end. So crops failed and people went hungry. It was an incredibly hard time and it went on for a very long time. Now, as I said, I'm no expert, but I think that along with millions of others right across the world, we're going to be feeling the impact of this virus for a very long time, economically and socially and psychologically. And I think that we'll be looking back at this moment in history and telling our children and our grandchildren how it changed everything. I don't think we're going to be getting back to the same jobs that we used to have when we return. That's if we do return to the same jobs that we used to have. All of us want to get back to the way things were, and we are already to beginning to hope of returning to normal. But I think this may yet be premature. I think we need to be ready for being in this for the long haul. And I say this wishing it not to be true, as it already feels like an age. But in reality, I think we've only just begun this story. We've only just begun to get used to living and working at home. We've only just begun to work out how to sustain ourselves spiritually and physically and emotionally in this time. Everything, including church, will be different for a long while. And all of us are going to have to let go of the way things used to be and the way we used to do things. We're going to have to learn completely new ways of living and connecting. Normal is a long way off. And when it returns, it won't be like normal used to feel. All of us are joining together and working hard to help the NHS to flatten the curve. But a flatter curve means a longer curve. And we need to be ready as an Easter people for a long time, not just one Sunday. Our hospitals are already stretched, and they'll continue to be stretched for months ahead. Our economy, which is ground to a virtual halt, will take years to recover. So, and this is my call to St. Mary's this morning. We need to commit ourselves to being an Easter people in the midst of this long year without a summer, right the way through. It's going to be hard to remain hopeful. It'll be hard to remain healthy. It'll be hard to remain loving and kind and gentle. We will all be stretched, but we need to be the Easter people, the resurrection people anyway. Mother Teresa, who was overwhelmed by suffering in the poorest of contexts for year upon year, said this: "People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It's never been between you and them. Anyway, we need to be the people, the Easter people, anyway. We need to pray anyway. We need to serve anyway. We need to love anyway. Forgive anyway. Worship anyway. We need to hope anyway. Over the last few weeks, I've been thinking about two key disciplines, generosity and simplicity. Friends, I want us as Jesus's followers right now to embrace both of these disciplines with all our energy and focus. Firstly, simplicity. Well, it's already forcing itself upon us, but as the Easter people, let's get ready for it lasting a long time. We've already had to give up days out and holidays and meals and treats, weddings even. We don't go shopping anymore. And when we do, we have to queue for a long time. Now, shopping won't be coming back anytime soon. So as families and as individuals, let's embrace the discipline of simplicity in everything, in our activity, in our thinking. Less is more, they say. Well, less is all we have right now. Let's embrace it as Jesus's disciples. And let's keep pressing into the discipline of gratitude. Why and how do we do gratitude? Well, because we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Because we believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. Because we know that God can do immeasurably more than all we ask for or imagine. And even if we are hard pressed on every side, even if we feel crushed, even if we find the words can't find the words to pray, we know that the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans, and that when he prays, he knows the will of God perfectly. You see, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. Therefore, we won't lose heart. Though outwardly we may be struggling, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes upon what is seen, not on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so let us press into the discipline and pleasure of gratitude. Let us rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let our gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Let's not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let's present our requests to God. Then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. St. Mary's, we are the Easter people. We are Easter families and Easter neighbors and Easter workers and Easter bosses. We are Easter parents and Easter children. Let's be the people we have been saved and rescued and redeemed to be. Let us be the people of Jesus, the people of resurrection, fearing nothing, confident that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ. Now, as Ali and Kate join me, let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts, fill our rooms, fill our homes, we pray, with your life and your breath. Come fill your church, all ages, young and old, whether on our own or in families. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us with the resurrection power of Jesus once again. And we pray in the powerful name of Jesus, the name that's above all names.